the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I'm a beer, damn it!
And we're live.
We are live.
There we go. How about that?
Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast Season 6, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and the worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while from Connecticut. That's right.
Yeah.
From Connecticut. I am your host this week. My honor to be the host. My name is Tony from Hartford, Connecticut. And joining me is...
This is Toby out in San Diego, California.
And this is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
What's happening, guys?
What's up, Tony? Thanks for hosting.
Taking over.
I'm trying. You know, Dave's got some big shoes. I'm trying to fill those shoes as best I can as he sets up his light show.
Clown shoes.
Yeah.
So this week is the Animales 2 show. Beers that are related to animal-themed names.
Just related to animals.
Okay. Related to animals?
My cousin Bob, he's a giraffe, and my Uncle Phil, I think he's some kind of amphibian.
All right.
And
What are we going to try?
This week, we are doing the Victory Dirt Wolf.
Ooh.
Dirt Wolf.
It's a deeper.
It's a deeper.
This is a fermentation conversation.
Dirty Wolf. Dirt Wolf is from the Victory Brewing Company. They're out of Downington, Pennsylvania. Their website is victorybeer.com. They've been brewing since 1996.
Such a great URL, isn't it? Victory Beer.
Victory Beer. Love it. No pressure or anything.
Yeah.
It is a, as Mike put, a DIPA.
Yes.
Ooh, we're cracking it.
Oh, cracking
it's,
yeah.
It's out, its ABV is 8.7. Let's see. Some of the ingredients here is imported two-row malts. For the malt base, the hops are whole flower Citra, Chinook, Simcoe, and Mosaic hops.
Yum.
Ooh.
Look for heavy citrus aroma and fruity flavor.
And free flavor?
Fruity.
Oh, I thought you said free. It's like, I paid money for this.
Well, once you bought it, it's free.
Yeah, no purchase necessary with purchase of this item.
Hopefully it's not flavor-free.
It's yellow.
Yeah.
Mine's cloudy. I think it's maybe a bit of a chill haze, but I actually got some stuff floating around the glass here.
Yeah,
my glass is dirty, or there's little particulates floating around.
I got lots of head, big fluffy head. Oh yeah, wow. I see some sediment starting to.
It's got some really good head retention, just hanging out.
Yeah, it's definitely clear. It's got like almost like a kind of like a honey haze to it. Maybe it's a chill haze.
Yeah, I got all kinds of stuff floating around.
Yeah, I do too. There's a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see
the granules or something, particulates.
Like a swirl of something.
Well, you know what? I left maybe about half an inch left in my bottle, so maybe that's why mine isn't as clear. Mine is clearer than yours.
Yeah,
maybe it didn't disturb the yeast. I don't know if they say this is bottle conditioned or not, but I don't know if Victory does that.
All right.
Well,
news.
Let's get in there.
They're nice. Right. Big citrus.
Citrus and tropical.
Yeah, very tropical fruitiness.
It smells
what
like a West Coast.
Had recently that I kept. It was like all about the tropical fruit aromas. It's just recently. Was it the Dumb and Dumber IPAs?
Oh, the show that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
The coming soon or the coming soon soon?
Yeah.
Soon soon.
Really coming soon. No, really, coming really soon. Coming soon. Coming sooner. I'm getting like pineapple.
You said, like, yeah. It's funny that you said that because as soon as that head got a little bit smaller, that pineapple came through.
Dude, I'm getting something like guava or something or mango.
Yeah, islandy smells, yeah.
Like it's a very, juice, like a guava
yeah,
juice.
It's like a tropical fruit juice.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Mouthful of hops.
Oh yeah. Whoa. I like that. It's like a pine, it's like pine in the middle and then it gets fruity again. Mm. It's like I got a lot of like pine resin and then it went back into the fruit.
Yeah, it hits you in the mouth like it's going to be like it's definitely fruity and then it gets bitter right in the middle and then it just kind of goes away and it's like, "Oh yeah, that's what it tasted like at first."
Right. Exactly. I remember after it assaulted me with the bitterness.
Wow, I even get kind of like a grapefruit, you know, not, what do you call it, the membrane?
The rind?
Inside the grapefruit, the kind of, yeah, kind of a pithy, but not super bitter. It's almost like the not so sweet part of the grapefruit, but not super bitter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
It's a whole heck of a lot of hops in here.
One of the things I've been trying to do as a homebrew a little bit more now is trying to just figure out what hops do what. Is this more like tropical? Is this more piney? Is this more grassy?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, with the four hops that this is made of, like you're getting characteristics of all of them, like the Mosaic, the Chinook.
Yeah. That's what surprises me. I think that they're all coming through, and it's not like a muddled mess that you're actually picking out that fruitiness and the pininess and all that that's actually supposed to come out of each of those hops.
Hmm.
This is why we love hops. It's for this
to me,
very
it's
reason.
It's a very northwestern style hoppy beer to me.
See, I was thinking West Coast, like, I don't know, because of the tropical stuff, you know, like a SoCal type of IPA, but with that pininess in there, yeah, it takes it on a little different route, you know, because it's not strictly West Coast. There's something else about it that, yeah.
There's something about this that seems like they really wanted to kind of showcase the hops that they were using as well, you know?
Mm.
I mean, they're using the whole flower of all of those, you know, what is it, Citra?
Yeah,
Simcoe, what's and Mosaic. Cool, and I love Mosaic. I'm a fan.
Yeah, definitely. Like, what's cool is that, so it's made up of the four different hops, and on their website, they basically, so Citra says citrus, heavy citrus aroma, fruity flavor. The Chinook is the grapefruit, and the resin is pine. Simcoe, dry and piney, and the Mosaic is earthy and mild floral with notes of sweet citrus and spice. I mean, all those are coming through. That's great.
Yeah. It's amazing that that's all kind of that you can get all that from this.
And it's very clean and it's very I mean, there's the mouthfeel is nice, the body of it is nice. It's the aftertaste, it lingers for a while, but it's not sticky. You know, with a lot of double IPAs, you can get that big kind of malty stickiness, but with this it just seems to be very clean. You still are left with a nice sweetness.
I find that Victory, at least in general, maybe not all their beers, but they do have they tend to linger, like those flavors tend to kind of hang out for a little while, and I don't know if that's kind of like a signature thing for them, but those the flavor does kind of hang out that little bit longer.
I don't know how many Victory beers I've had. This is... I haven't had many, I'm sure. Hmm. Because in...
Well, when you were in Vegas, you couldn't get Victory, right?
Yeah, I couldn't get Victory in Vegas, but now I can get them here, and I can get quite a few, but...
Their Prima Pils is, like, the best Pilsner.
Yeah.
It's like the really hoppy pills, but it's really clean. It's one of the best I've had.
Yeah, Victory does a good job. I had a... What did I have of theirs the other day? It was the White Monkey. Yeah, it was a Golden Monkey, but it was the White Monkey aged in Chardonnay barrels. That was awesome,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I had that.
Did you have that on the show?
Yes, I did. I'm trying to think of what show. Now I'm going to have to find out.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com, search bar.
That's right. That's how we roll. Ooh, I spelled it wrong.
That's our beer journal. Well, for the show.
Oh, on 12 Monkeys, of course.
Oh, well, yeah.
What other show would it be?
12 Monkeys show. Check it out.
All right. So, let's see. Are we at the pairings stage?
Yeah. Yeah, you got the...
We are.
You got your hamburger cooked up?
give me a go. Second. Give me a second.
Instant pairing? Hashtag instant pairing.
I want...
Oh, didn't you know, Tony, that's part of the rules for hosting, is you have to be ready for an instant pairing.
There he goes. He's going for an instant pairing.
Oh, no.
Goes to the fridge.
Diving in the fridge. Let's get some American cheese slices.
Yeah.
Orty, orty, ork, ork, ork. You see him, like, throwing stuff over his shoulder.
Just a little of this, a little of that. Shake it up. But I could go for some, like, chicken wings with, like, a Thai chili type with some kind of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, like something fruity and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go for something spicy, too.
I usually gravitate towards, like, spicy foods. For double IPAs, but in this case, I'm going to gravitate towards this piece of cheese.
And what kind of cheese is that?
I have no idea.
Resisting some tinfoil next to some green stuff.
Well, once I cut off the mold,
what was the part that wasn't green?
I'm hoping it was blue cheese, but it may have become blue cheese. Yeah, I mean, a nice, strong, like, pungent cheese, and I'm hoping that it was supposed to be a pungent cheese, because it was, pairs very well with the Victory Dirt Wolf, so.
There you go.
That's what cheese I'm doing. Plate. It's happening.
Even just something with, like, Parmesan or something might not even be too bad. Be interesting to try it, you know, a real kind of salty, stronger.
As opposed to what I just had, like a nice strong, like blue cheese, like a nice, very pungent kind of cheese in your face.
You could get some, you could
cheese
like
in your face.
little pieces of cheese, and then you can have these little like Melba toast and spread it with like some sort of spicy chutney or something like that. And
yeah, there you go, nice. Let's meet halfway with our food pairing.
All right,
I like it. Except for I can't instant pair it right now.
All right. As we continue to finish our Dirty Wolf here, let's drink some more beer. What do you think, guys?
Let's get some ratings.
Oh, yeah. I could do that.
Ooh.
I should have that.
I have Untapped here.
Okay, well, if you're ready, go ahead.
Cool.
Because I wasn't.
I was. Okay.
You get it?
Is Dirt Wolf one word?
Yes.
That depends.
The Dirt Wolf on Untapped ranks in at a solid 4.
Wow, not even point nothing.
4 star. That's why I thought it was wrong, because it was
just 4.
Usually it's like 3 decimal places. A solid 4. 4 star bottle caps on Untapped. out of 64,326 ratings.
That's a few.
Yeah.
Three popular, the top three places to drink this beer are the Beer and Bacon Festival in Alamont Springs, Florida.
Nice, a Beer and Bacon Festival.
That sounds awesome.
The Nationals
Park. Yeah, Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. And Leesburg Public House in Leesburg, Virginia.
I have the Winking Lizard Tavern from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, I see that down there, too. See, I have that in place five. You have it in three?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Very strange.
See, and I have to just...
Are you looking at Dirt Wolf or Dirt Wolf 2014?
Oh, just Dirt Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I have to say, and this is one of my...
Double IPA has a vintage. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
These are one of my gripes with... And I'm sure you're going to jump on this, Mike, but being a Yankee fan, going to the stadium, there isn't good beer to drink. The best beer you're going to get there is probably like a Goose Island IPA.
Yeah.
I would love to go and drink this beer at a baseball game. Like, this would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. So, they're doing it wrong, but the Nationals are doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool that you can get this beer at the ballpark.
That's awesome.
Fenway's getting better, you know, with some of their beer choices, yeah. Throwing a few more local choices at you.
Cool.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Gemini Lounge logo and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right. What's up, my fellow beer lovers? This is Toby in San Diego.
My fellow beer lovers.
And I am drinking, for my animals beer, I'm drinking the Rabid Beaver from Belching Beaver Brewery. Out of Vista, California. They've been brewing since 2012, so they're youngins.
Yeah, wow. Way back in
barely legal.
2012.
First time I heard of these guys was at the
podcasting longer than this brewery's been open.
That's right. First time I came across Belching Beaver was actually at the FERC Fest in Anaheim that
Greg Nagel.
Greg and the OC put on. And I remember walking by, and they had a van with the Belching Beaver on the side, and I was like, Belching Beaver? What the hell? And then I found out they were from Vista, and I was like, holy crap, these guys are from the San Diego area. So anyway, this is the Rabid Beaver. It is a rye IPA. Comes in at 7% ABV.
Here we just call them rye PAs.
Oh, sorry. Actually, it's a rye DIPA. It's a Redipa.
Oh. Redipa.
Yeah. IBUs are 60. So there you go. Fits into the very nice range.
That's like very nice range right there.
Safe zone.
So things are looking up. And ingredients, it
nice,
just says a variety of specialty hops. They use a variety of specialty hops that are hard to find with today's shortages, including the evasive Simcoe.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, whatever. We just had a beer with Simcoe in it.
That's why it's evasive, because they've used it all.
It did win the silver medal at the Del Mar Fair 2013. It's cool that they still call it the Del Mar Fair. So, shout out to Rabid Beaver, to Belching Beaver, are still calling it the Del Mar Fair.
Why, what's it called now?
San Diego County Fair.
Oh, at the Del Mar Fairgrounds?
Yeah, they changed that probably, gosh, it's been a long time, like 10 years now. So, I cracked it, putting it in the glass. Put it in the glass. This is a 22, all to my lonesome because Gina's not here.
Aww.
I know, so sad, so sad.
What if we were doing the Czar show?
I know.
It'd get dark pretty quickly.
So, it pours out. It's a slightly orange color. And it got a little bit of particulates in there. Got a big fat head. I kind of poured a little aggressively, so it's about a Yeti finger of head. And some decent carbonation on the nose. Ooh.
Go on.
Get some, like, some orange hop candy. A little bit of a slightly dirty malt in the background.
Oh, yeah. I like dirty malts.
I get, like, this candied orange on the nose. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's starting to smell like a like an orange cookie or something, like an orange butter cookie. A little perfumey. You guys making fun of me?
Well, I don't know, just what you're saying, but you're drinking a beer called, you know, from Belching Beaver. And how it smells. And
this show would be like 25 minutes longer if Dave was here.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, what was the... He did the Belching Beaver peanut butter... Milk stout.
That's such a good beer.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut butter milk stout.
He did that as a special Crazy Dave YouTube video. And go if you go to youtube.com/beercoasterspodcast or go to our website and click on the YouTube link, Dave does have a solo Belching Beaver peanut butter milk stout tasting. It was like a pre-show one time, and he was like, oh, I got this beer, I want to try it.
One Dave and one beaver.
All right, I'm taking a sip. Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's got a lot of this, like, candy sweetness. I'm starting to get a little, of all things, this is lower ABV than the Victory, but I am getting a little bit of warming. But
that could be from rye, right? Kind of a peppery.
Could, yeah, you're right. It could be because there's not so much of like a spiciness on the tongue, but maybe that's what it is. Maybe as it goes down, that's where you get a slight burn or some sort of like tickle or warming that's happening. There's this like kind of like what I was saying on the nose, like this candied orange, a little bit of that. There's some floral perfuminess.
Did you say what else did they use besides Simcoe?
They didn't say. They just said a variety of like hard to find hops.
Apparently yeah, this find them on their website too.
Candied orange is very present, and it's got a nice. It's very similar, as far as the mouthfeel and the body, is very similar to the Victory. It's not too thick and sticky. It finishes nice and sweet, and there's not a whole lot of, like I was saying about the rye on the tongue, there's not really a whole lot of, like, of that, what you would expect out of the rye malt, a little bit of that peppery, spicy kick.
Yeah.
It's not really there, but you can kind of get that something in the throat from the Belching Beaver.
What are you thinking for food on this one?
Oh, man. I want, like, a French pastry or something with big granules of sugar on top, kind of like those Danish cookies with the big sugar chunks on top. Something like that, or maybe like a apple turnover?
It's funny. That's the first thing I thought of when you said, like, the big, you know, like, granulated sugar.
Yeah. Simple turnover.
Well, something that plays well with, like you said, orange, right? You said candied orange. So something that like plays well with that, but kind of like apple or some sort of like
maybe like an orange glazed cronut.
Like croissant donut?
Yeah. Cronuts.
I was thinking croissant too, because you know how croissants are kind of sweet and
they are French pastries, right?
And very buttery, yeah.
More of a French bread, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Pastry bread. Close enough.
So yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with.
All right.
Nice.
Cool, man.
Untapped. Oh, see, I did have this at the Beer Bloggers Conference. Remember, Mike? Belching Beaver was there, and they
had... I didn't know they had the rabid one there. That's why I had the peanut butter milk stout, which was really good.
So on Untapped, it comes in at a 3.60 out of 2,731 ratings.
Wow. The top three locations to drink this beer is Belching Beaver Brewery in Vista, California. Barrel Republic in San Diego, California. Where's that?
Huh. Barrel Republic?
Yeah.
I've heard of them. I don't know where it's at.
How have I not been there?
I think they...
We're going to stop the show right now. I'm gonna fly to San Diego. I'll be back. And the number three place is the Tropics Ale House in Waikoloa Resort. I don't know. I never know how to pronounce it.
In Hawaii?
Somewhere in Hawaii. Hawaii. Yeah. I can say that right. Hawaii.
Sweet. Thanks.
Yeah.
So there you have it, Belching Beaver Brewery and their Rabid Beaver Rye. Deepa.
Oh, and you know what I didn't do? That I didn't do for the other beer that I will do for this one is the Beer Advocate users. Rate this, which is very good.
What do they rate it? You cut out for a sec.
85.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What are they listed as? What style?
Rye beer.
All right. I think Mike's up next.
Woohoo!
Oh, see, this was Mike's plan. He made you be host so that you would have to drink last.
Damn it. I see what you did there. All right.
Paul's Merca! No.
Aces and Ales. Las Vegas' premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hey, Flick, hurry
up. Hey, Mikey, gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh.
No, I don't have to go to the bathroom yet. Maybe after this beer. This is Mike from Boston. This is my tasting flight, and I'm going to try Notch Brewing Company's The Mule. That's right, folks. This is the Mule. It is an American corn lager.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, no.
Now, I'll have to say, I was surprised by this. Crazy Dave and I tried this at the last, this previous Beer Bloggers Conference, but the one before in Boston. And it was very interesting, and I'm hoping that I'm going to have the same experience here. So, this is from Notch Brewing Company, and their website is notchbrewing.com. I think they're out of Ipswich. I could be wrong. I don't have that up because I suck at doing my homework. But the ABV on this is 4.2%. Notch kind of they kind of focus on session beers. Pretty much everything they have is around that 4.5 and below. I don't think they have any big beers.
And that is Ipswich too.
Yeah.
And Mike, real quick, speaking of session beers, you tried one of their beers on our Leap Beer issue, which was a session beer show in March of 2012.
Oh.
Wow.
Cool, man. I know I've had them before. I wasn't quite sure which one I've had on the show. I think maybe I've tried a couple of them. But
you tried...
Did I try the Cerné Pivo?
You know, when I click on the link, it just takes me to their beer page.
It was like a Czech black lager. I remember that one being actually pretty good. But anyway...
Cerné Pivo.
Yeah.
Black session lager.
So this is the Mule. It's a corn lager, and
it's
classified as such. The ABV is 4.2. The malts they use are Rar Pils, Cara Pils, and Flaked. Sorry, I was trying to find my bottle opener here. And for hops, they use Santium and Crystal. And for corn, they use corn. And they use it from Valley Malt, which is, I think it's a farm out in Hadley, Massachusetts.
Ooh, is this non-GMO Valley corn?
I believe it is.
Well, there you go.
And we talked to the brewer the year before when Crazy Dave and I were there, and he said he just wanted to make an American... you know, what they call the American adjunct lager, but he wanted to do it what he thought to be kind of the right way. He thought that he could use corn to actually enhance the flavor as opposed to just thin it out and, you know, try to get more beer for your buck. So, I got...
Are you really getting more beer for your buck?
That is subject to opinion, and I think we know which side of the aisle I sit on that argument. So, this is about maybe 2 Yeti fingers worth of head right now, and I pour it fairly gingerly, but it's...
That's like 2 Yeti thumbs.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's a hitchhiker Yeti right there. Oh, no, that's a this guy Yeti.
This Yeti right here.
What Yeti likes beer? This Yeti.
This guy. All right, so it is yellow. It is super yellow.
Gotta make a shirt that has 2 Yeti hands going like that and says this Yeti.
Just the hands on the shirt?
Yeah. Like that.
Two giant thumbs. So the carbonation is still going crazy, just rising and rising and rising. I'm using the Sam Adams, I forget what they call it, like some kind of sensory something beer glass, but it was made for the Boston Lager, so I figure it, why not the Mule Lager?
It's called the You Sucka, you bought into this gimmick glass.
I'm telling you, man, I'm not big with the gimmick stuff, and I really think this is a phenomenal beer glass. I really, really do believe that this works.
That glass started really the trend. Nice design. You have that glass, now you have like IPA glasses, now you have like stout glasses.
Yeah, it really started to, I think it was like, I don't know, it was almost like a goodbye to the pint glass for a lot of people, you know, like they wanted to start getting more into, you know, having specific glasses for beer styles and whatnot. They were like just totally bashing like how bad the pint glass was for, you know, to actually be able to enjoy beer, which I still don't know if I believe 100%. But
no, the pint glass still works.
Yeah, I think so. It works for me.
Works for me.
Yeah. Look, it's working right now. So, yeah, it's yellow. I got tons of head on the nose.
That head's still there, too. It hasn't moved this whole time.
No, it really hasn't. Look, it's...
It's still two Yeti thumbs.
Jiggly. Yeah. It's jiggly.
All right. Ooh, it's got a really lemony aroma to it. Beside that, aside from that, I'm getting like not much really. It's a very bright lemon aroma. I can't really smell corn at this moment. It's a very kind of very lemon specific kind of hop aroma, almost like that.
Sounds like citra.
Like a sriracha ace or something. Something really lemony. But yeah, I know that they don't have sriracha ace in there. What'd you say? Citra?
Citra?
Yeah, hopsy. Yeah. Well, actually, they use Santium and Crystal, which I've never heard of Santium hops. I'm not familiar with it at all. I'm actually going to look it up to see if I can find anything about it. Aside from that lemon, there's like a little bit of grainy maltiness. Sorry, I just got like a whiff, almost like a cleaning product, like a.
Oh, I get a little Mr. Clean.
Almost like a little lemon pledge or something.
Is that Pall Mall?
I gotta take a sip. I've been trying to kill time to let this head settle, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Just get in there.
Yeah, I'm just going to get in there.
No mercy. Is this supposed to be water? It's wet, isn't it? Drink it.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Wow, see, now you can taste a little bit of corn, but it tastes more like corn. And the lemon is still there. Really crisp. Cleans up super fast. Real crisp and clean. I can't believe I'm saying all these positive things about a corn lager right now.
For reals. So, Tony, who do you think we should have on next week instead of Mike?
I mean, anybody.
Really, anybody. It's not like you can do any worse, you know? So you just grab someone off the street.
We get like a rock or pairings
with the homeless.
Oh, my God.
Maybe like a stick.
Anybody have a cat or a dog, perhaps, I could just have sit in? It's actually just really clean and crisp. There's not a whole heck of a lot that lingers. It's got that really lemon, bright lemon aroma, which is actually quite pleasant. The maltiness, it's not like, I know you say corn lager and you think any of those macro beers, but this is really not that. I think this was, I don't know, I guess I'll talk more about that in the last call.
What about metallic-y, any of that kind of...
You know what? Or... I'm not getting that at all in this beer. And I really thought that was going to show up. Because when we had it, I'm sure that they gave it to us as fresh as possible. You know, we got kind of the...
Where did you have this again?
At the Beer Bloggers Conference in Boston.
So you obviously had it on draft then. Cracking bottles.
Nope, I think they had bottles then. Yeah, they had bottles. And I don't know if that was, I don't know if they, like, release this every year, if this is seasonal or what. But when I saw it on the shelf again, I wanted to grab it, I wanted to be able to try it on the show.
Plus, it's called the Mule, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked.
It's an email.
And the thing is, too, here in Massachusetts, we get towards the end of the summer, which is usually when this beer actually comes out. But we saw it on the shelves just recently, so I don't know if they actually brewed a second batch, or possibly this is left over from the end of the summer. I don't know. I don't think the place I went, they usually don't hang on to things that long, so it's possible that, that they brewed, you know, a second batch for the season. But Massachusetts comes out, they have a native corn that you can get at farmers markets and some of the farm stands and stuff. So towards the end of the summer, that Massachusetts native corn will come out, and it's actually pretty good. And if I'm going to pair this with something, it's so light and crisp. I don't know. I kind of want a barbecue. Like, I kind of want a hot dog with this beer. You know, I'm just thinking like hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill in the summertime. That may sound kind of boring, but it's just what I want. I take a sip and it's like, yeah, I could definitely go for, you know, sitting around in the summer and throwing some stuff on the grill.
Well, you said Notch kind of like primarily does a lot of session beers, so it sounds like,
yes.
I mean, I don't think I've had any Notch, but I mean, what you're describing is something that is just clean, crisp, you know, backyard, lawnmower, hot yeah. dog, hamburger, barbecue sort of thing. So it, yeah. that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, and it is. And I think it's at the right temperature right now, too. It's like nice and cold. This is a beer that you definitely want to drink cold. I honestly believe that this at last call is most likely going to fall apart. I could be wrong, but I don't think it would last that long. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Untapped. I'll give you some ratings here. Untapped comes in at 3.62 out of 318 ratings. That's not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
300.
Yeah, especially since you had it over a year ago and it's only had like nine check-ins a month.
Ago, right? It was two summers ago.
Cray, cray.
Popular locations, there's only two. I can't give you the top three because there's only two. And that's Nosh Tavern in Plymouth, Mass. And the Barrel House American Bar in Beverly, Mass.
What's up? Right up the road a piece.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all? You ain't drinking no American adjunct lagers. What's going on, people?
Yeah, I think corn lager, I don't know. I mean, that may be a turnoff for a lot of people.
I wonder if that's what it is. Or maybe they just, maybe it is seasonal and they don't brew a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Not sure. But I think people should give this one a try, especially if that's all they're drinking is these macro, you know, corn and rice beers. Try something like this. This may be the perfect gateway craft beer for you to try to see what the difference can actually be.
So. Interesting. Yeah.
And the Beer Advocate users rate this an 87, which is very good.
Nice.
And I think that's it. We're going to do maybe some hop topics, or are we jumping into...
Well, now that Mike is done making an ass out of himself...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been sitting on that for like 10 minutes. I'm ready to drink some beer.
All right,
Tony.
So we're gonna what we call pause America. We'll be back right after this.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
Back east, we've got Don Leone drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome to my tasting flight. This week, I am doing the Silo Can of Bengali.
Silo Can.
Delicious, delicious.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
That really is a Silo Can.
Yeah,
Silo Holy Can. Crap.
24 ounces, all to me.
That's a big tiger.
You'd think that when they changed the name with such a bigger can that they'd still be able to fit the name on there.
Yeah. Well, let's just give it a bigger can and drop the tiger.
So I've never seen one of these before. Let's see what
it's like. Ooh. One of those crazy energy drinks.
Yeah,
it looks like a monster. Yeah, all right. Let's
see. Not a monster. It's a tiger.
That's so crazy.
Wow. Still got like another like two beers in here. Jeez.
Like beer tech.
24 ounces for those that don't have a video.
Silo can.
So this is the 6 Point Bengali. They're out of Brooklyn, New York.
It's so fitting for Tony Leone to be doing a Brooklyn beer.
Hey, easy. Come on, I'm trying to do a tasting flight over here. They were founded in 2004, but as they say, it was born at the dawn of civilization. That's what they say on their website. Check it out. Their website, it's funny you bring that up, is 6point.com. The style is an English IPA, and I was thinking I'm going to flip the script a little bit. I know. I know.
Whoa.
I know. Guy, first time I'm hosting, probably the last time I'm hosting.
Hold on. Conversation violation.
I need to bring it.
You got 5 minutes in a tasting flight.
2 minute minor. What, I don't even know. I don't even watch hockey. But here's what I'm saying. So I'm reading about this beer. I'm getting ready for this week's show, and the descriptions are all over the place. All right. I'm starting with my ratings.
Wait a minute, Tony. You were getting ready for this show?
I was getting ready. Listen.
Wow. That's your first mistake, pal. Don't get ready for the Beer Coasters podcast. You just do it.
Maybe in 2010 or something.
I'm trying to, you know, I drink to impress here, I guess. I don't know.
It is most impressive.
So I'm starting with my ratings, all right? That's what I'm starting with. I'm flipping. Whoa. So.
Damn.
I know. Crazy.
I like how he's mixing this up.
So the untapped users are.
So exciting.
Just when you think you know the Beer Coasters, throwing a curve. The untapped users say 3.73 out of 9,353 ratings. And the Beer Advocate users say 87, very good. And I know we don't usually say this, but the brothers are giving this a 99, which is world class.
Wow.
Okay. However, and here's why I started with that. They say that this beer has changed formulas. They changed recipes. It started off as a certain thing, but as they and a lot of mixed reviews online, and it's been available on draft for 10 years. It's only been canned for the last three. Most people know it as the Bengali Tiger. Now it's Bengali as it changed this past April. The 6 Point.
What the hell is it doing on the animal show? Damn it! You're messing everything up.
Man, I'm dropping everything. You know what? Let's just pair it with something. I don't even care.
At least some animal food. Some chicken or beef, some pork.
I would pair this with some mule. Don't eat the donkey.
Donkey.
All right. We're totally
hijacking. Hijacking.
Totally hijacking.
So the 6 Point president says the new format and design, which complements the enhanced excellence of the liquid, because certain hops weren't available when they initially brewed this beer back in 2004. So the recipe that was maybe everyone loved was the hops that they used, but certain hops aren't available now. So now they're changing things up. So they're hoping that they're looking forward to seeing a new reaction from the fans. So you may have had this on the show before, but this may be the first time of having this style.
Yeah, I guess so. It seems that this is a different beer altogether.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's barely the same by name. I mean,
different can, different name.
Why didn't they just call it something else?
You'll have to talk to Shane Welch.
Bengali.
All right. They say they used floor malted base malt, three different kinds of hops.
They use malt off the floor.
That floor, yeah. Floor malted. I don't know. three different kinds of hops and massive amounts of East Kent Goldings. The ABV on this guy is 6.5.
And he has an IPA glass.
I know.
Yeah. Look at that.
And we'll show it with my Dogfish glass. And the IBUs are 69.
Whoa.
I know.
Crazy day freak out.
Freak out mode. All right. On the pour, it looks, it's very clear. Has a, like a orange, almost like reddish hue to it. Some nice white lacing that has since dissipated because I like to talk a lot. Let's see what we got in the nose here. Wow, it is, it's offensive. It's so, it's grass.
It smell grassy. Like a tiger? Did it go rare?
They should have used rare malts on this guy.
Oh.
Hey, yo. It's just like, it's grassy. It's really earthy. Kind of like maybe a little bit of orange. Very clear. Let's try this.
I forgot. Was this supposed to be an Imperial or just a IPA?
Well, it's 6.5, so it's right around that, like, it's not really Imperial, but I guess.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Yeah.
Hmm.
You have a double. Oh, was the double? Wow. What's it called? Comes in a little can.
The resin?
The resin, yes. We've done that one, too.
The orange comes definitely a little bit more through on the taste. Yeah, I wonder what the other two hops they use. They said, you know, the, obviously the massive amount of East Kent Goldings. I wonder what those characteristics are, because this is grassy, earthy, unlike Dirt Wolf, which kind of like, what's that?
East Kent Goldings, yeah, that should be more like kind of right in the middle, you know, earthy,
okay,
grassy, yeah.
Yeah, it's really sticky. It's like,
that's very English hop too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say it's a very it's reminiscent of an old English IPA.
I can't even remember what we thought of this beer.
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah.
It's good. It's one of those beers that when you first have it, you know, it has that kind of like that bitterness, that like almost like you know, it's sticky. It's got that, like I said, like grassy and earthy. You need to have, I want to say, at least like two or three more sips before like your tongue kind of like recovers from that first sip.
Yeah.
Once it does, it's a little bit more drinkable. You know, the right out of the gate, you know, the Victory Dirt Wolf that we had that tropical, that fruity. This has none of that. I mean, it has like a little bit of orange essence going on, but that's about it. Maybe a little bit of pineapple on the taste.
Hmm.
But very subdued. Like, the hops are just like, the hops are stealing the show right now. But again, it, you know, it starts off a little offensive, but after you have a couple sips, you're like, eh, you know what? This ain't too bad. I like it. You know. After a couple more sips, it's good. And after you have all 24 ounces, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey!
Food pairings. It's not at like the double IPA level where I'd say like spicy foods. I'd almost... You'd want to pair this with... I don't know, maybe some like... I'd go like pulled pork. Maybe some okay. like smoky pulled pork. Something that has some flavor, but nothing that's going to like just kind of... challenge, I guess, like the mouthfeel, like a spicy versus this, like, you know, it's malty, but it's not something that you want to have like with spicy foods, because then the spicy foods I think would dominate it, and it would clash. Do something that's like smoky, maybe like a barbecue, maybe like a honey barbecue might be good.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Honey barbecue. Oh yeah.
And I think that'll wrap the old tasting fight from Brooklyn.
Cool.
All right.
Untapped.
Oh. Well, I started untapped. With my untapped, but I can finish.
Oh, that's
right. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Wow, we're doing this all aspect. Oh. You didn't do popular locations, though, did you?
I did not, but I can.
Okay.
The popular locations of the Bengali is Connor's Pub in Indianapolis, Indiana. Milwaukee Ale House in Grafton, Wisconsin, and Paddy's in Hornell, New York.
Ah, Paddy's.
Paddy's.
Fine puppeties.
And we'll be back with some pint ratings. What do you think?
Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
For sure.
Let's do it.
Floral Tomo _ says, "To heck with diabetes. I'm drinking beer and having chocolate cake and drinking beer."
Tweet of the week, yeah.
All right, everybody, last call.
All right, welcome back. Here we are, last call. Ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's right.
So we are going to start off with a little pint ratings. Toby, what do you think?
Toby, the ratings are thrown to you.
Oh, hey.
Since you just jumped back on the show. You left us, and then you came back.
And now you're back.
Now there's like two Tobys on screen. That's crazy.
For the price of one.
Well, let me switch to studio mic. Because I'm pretty sure I didn't do that the other time this happened.
All right.
So, for my ratings.
Ratings.
Thanks for throwing it to me.
Sure. That's what we're here for.
Victory's Dirt Wolf. One word. Dirt Wolf.
Dirt Wolf.
Man. Okay, so it's been sitting here with a little, you know, a couple sips left. Whew. Tropical, still big fruity tropical aromas.
Come on, tell us what you really think. I want an honest, honest last call rating right here.
This is a safe place. You can talk.
I want to say, you know, Mike always talks about double IPAs and how they run deep or whatever.
Oh, the list, yeah.
List.
It's right. Stacked category. Yeah.
It's a very stacked category, and I'm a big fan of double IPAs, Imperial IPAs. I mean, I'm a big fan.
There's some big contenders, some heavy hitters.
There is. And with this one, man, I freaking love this beer. This has all the great things about hops, what I would want out of hops as far as the aroma and the flavors, and it's not too big and sticky sweet. It's actually like somewhat of a drinkable double IPA, which is crazy because, I mean, I've had some before that were like that, but the amount of flavors and just like the intensity that you get out of the beer without it being too much. It's like it's right there at this like really nice, somewhat drinkable level. And so I'm gonna go 5 pints, man.
Whoa!
I love this. I will definitely get this beer again. I recommend it to anybody if you like hoppy beers. I don't even know how much I paid. I was telling Mike off mic about how I went to the beer store and I didn't see it on the shelf because I had in my mind a different kind of label for it. I don't know why. So I just kind of scanned the shelves and I didn't see it. But once the girl who worked there helped me find it, and I was like, oh yeah, I've seen it before. I took the 4-pack and bought it. I don't even know how much it was. It could have been like $18. I don't even know. But
I don't think it should have been that much.
5 pints, I loved it, and I can't wait for Gina to try it, and it's just delicious, it's great, and it's not too much. That's the thing I like about it, is it's not too much. It's like you can have one and then go, you know what, I think I'm going to go for another, because this is good. So.
Nice.
I've had a lot of rabid beaver too, so
Speaking of which.
Speaking of rabid beaver from Belching Beaver.
Rabid beavers.
This one's really good too.
See, I already sense less passion on this.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, compared to the victory, I mean, this one is, it's not coming close, but it's still very, very good, and it's still very much like a double IPA that you would expect. As far as the rye goes, I don't get a whole lot of the rye. The rye is very, very subtle, especially now towards the end. I'm not really picking up much from it. And to me, that's kind of a big selling point, especially if you're going to put it on the label and all that stuff. You're going to say, hey, this is a rye IPA. You know, rye IPA, I think of, what's the Sierra Nevada one? Is it the flip side? No, that's the one.
No.
The one that's out now. It's the Ruthless.
Hmm.
I think that's out.
Rye.
Yep.
The Ruthless Rye. So that's what I think of when I think of like a rye IPA. So I think of that really like peppery, spicy, and it's very present. But with this, the rye is, it's very subtle, it's laid back, which isn't a bad thing, but it's kind of not what I'm expecting. But I still really like it, so I'm going to go 3.5. And so far, from Belching Beaver, I haven't had anything that I didn't like so far. So 3.5, good job.
If you do like the rye styles, you should check out our the Born Rye Identity issue. We did a couple of years back. We tried the Ruthless Rye and a few other rye beers. Check that one out.
Yeah, Ruthless Rye. That's probably like your. To me, that's the like the rye IPA. If you're gonna do something like that. So.
I agree. That's it. Yeah, that's easily accessible too for most people.
Yeah.
You know, I remember coming up with. The rye beers that stuck out for me was the guys from Hebrew. That's the first time I can remember seeing rye in beers. I'm sure they, you know, they probably weren't the first ones to do it, but that's where I think started to see them come up.
The Lenny's, right?
That's from Hebrew, yeah.
Lenny's Reapa.
Yep.
It's a silent can.
For me, the Victory Dirt World, I agree with Toby, you know, mainly because he said he was talking about things that I said previously, so I kind of have to agree with him. One thing, it's strange because, yeah, I do speak about the double IPAs having a big malt backbone as well. And that category is stacked. There's tons of double IPAs out there. This is very different where it doesn't have a big malt backbone to back up the incredible amount of hoppiness. But I'm kind of glad in this case. I think it's a really, really nice showcase of hops. This beer, we could pick out the characteristics of the different hops in this beer. And that it... I thought that was fantastic. I'm not quite giving it a 5 because I feel like maybe it needs a little... I don't know what it needs. Maybe it doesn't need anything. Maybe I should give it a 5, but I'm going to give it a 4.5. I think it's a phenomenal showcase of hops in a bottle here. So if you get a chance, if you like hoppy beers, you got to try this just because... you really get that whole cone hop flavor, and you can really pick the aromas and flavors that and they come out of all, was it 4 or 5 hops that they use? They're all detectable, you know.
Now when you say if you're, you know, a hop lover or you like hoppy beers, I'm just hoping that it's not the type of people that go, oh yeah, I just like bitter.
Right.
You know, I just like, you know, hops.
No, but
no, this is like if you like certain types of hops.
If you like piney hops,
if you like a variety of
hops, floral hops.
Right.
I think you still have to have that little bit of tolerance for the bitterness in the beer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because some people will try this, and they won't be able to pick out anything. They're going to say, oh, it's just another bitter IPA, and that's unfortunate. You know, but if you're used to drinking some really bitter hoppy beers, and you drink, or if you just go out to a bar and you're drinking a lot of IPAs, try something like this. It's different, and I hope that if you do try it, you will be able to taste and smell the difference in a beer like that. For my tasting flight, the Notch, the Mule Corn Lager. You're not going to find a lager like this. I think it's a great a great beer to have your friends try. If there you have a friend that only drinks Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, have them try this. I'm really curious to see how they might experience something like this, because it is, I mean, that corn flavor's there, but in a much better way. There's no metallic-y lager lingering on the tongue. Really lemony hoppiness. It's crisp and clean. Probably one of the best lagers. It's got to be probably in the top 10 lager, maybe even top 5 lagers for me. In this case, because we're doing a corn lager, I'm gonna have to rate it as such, and I'm gonna have to give it a 5 because it's probably the best corn lager that I've ever had.
Now you're just being an ass. You're an ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, it says so right there. Yeah.
Shut
there you
up,
go.
You That's stupid right. donkey.
I gave a lager with corn in it a 5. Did you hear that, listeners? If you put it that
so,
way,
it Tony, have
horrible.
You figured
what
out?
Was I thinking?
So,
have you figured out who we're gonna have on next week?
I'll be happy to join you guys next week.
Yeah. The mic's fired.
Toby and I will be doing the show next week.
Yeah. I think we're gonna call up Big Gay Scott, even though he doesn't drink anymore, and.
And I'll be joining the Miller Coors team. I've been bought out.
Fun run down here. Whatever. Yeah. Tony, give us your ratings.
Beer cornsters.
All right, my turn. So the Victory Dirt Wolf. You guys brought up some excellent points, Mike. You're talking about like the hops. You know how it was just bizarre because I don't think we really looked closely at the description of, you know, which hop was in there, and then we're like, you know, Toby was throwing out grapefruit, and you know, we're like, oh, and it kind of has like that pininess, and oh, then there's like those tropical fruits, and oh, pineapple, oh, I'm getting pineapple, and then we read the description, and it was like, bam, 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 it was like exactly what we had just said, you know, and what was unique about that, it wasn't just a general profile of what all of the hops should bring that beer. It was what each hop offered that the Victory Dirt Wolf, and it really spoke volumes. So, bravo to the guys at Victory for you know, when you go into a beer and you read a description of a certain hop and you think it's going to have like this certain quality, bam, they got it. They absolutely nailed it.
One thing I want to say: we've had beers that have had multiple hops, sometimes 6, 7. Or more hops, and a lot of the times they get muddled. It becomes like this muddy, bitter mess, and I don't think it didn't happen here. You know, so I was really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, very, very defined. What I'll say, and like, it's scary that, you know, we're calling like an 8.7. You know, not, I wouldn't say sessionable, but very drinkable, because that's pretty steep. 8.7 is steep. And what I would say to people that like double IPAs, you know, I think Toby, you mentioned that you had a kind of more of a difficult time getting this, tracking this one down. I find that
I scanned the aisles and I didn't, it was a label that I didn't
Oh, gotcha.
When I went, there was only two left on the shelf.
Yeah.
Victory is one of those beers that, like, you don't really have too much trouble finding around here. They have a pretty good reach, especially where Mike and I are from. Yeah. If you're a big fan of double IPAs, a couple weeks ago I was lucky enough to try the double dose with the collaboration from Otter Creek and Lawson's Finest Liquids, and that is a phenomenal. That's a 6 on your scale of 1 to 5. That is just a ridiculous IPA. You know, then you have like your heady toppers, again, double IPA. You have
that's a good one too. Yeah.
Huge IPAs. This one, what's nice about the Dirt Wolf is that it's very accessible. So if you have a chance, you have more of a shot to pick up the Victory Dirt Wolf. And it's right up there with the big boys. Maybe it's a psychological thing because it's easier to obtain, that it's not up there with those guys, but it's very good double IPA. While it pulls off the hop quality very well, I like the balance that it has. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. The 5, when I put something at a 5, it's one of those beers that it almost like just escapes you. Like you're just like, man, I don't even know what to say right now. This is a 5. Like that's what a 5 is. Like that's like, you know, heady topper and double dose. Like, so this is good. But maybe just because it's so accessible for me, I don't know. I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
You know,
I think it's to its credit that you can get a double IPA at this caliber, and people aren't lining up to get it, and it's not a limited release. You know what I mean? It seems like it could possibly be, even though, you know, I've said a million times I don't kind of subscribe to that. I got lucky that okay, there's a couple available, and I grabbed them. But I think this is a good example of like, hey, we can have this beer come out and it will sell well, but you don't have to throw a bunch of hype, on top of this. It's like, it's available and it's just as good as, some of those that are way up, you could probably put it in that top 10.
Yeah, I would.
You know,
that's the thing about my whole thing is I had no preconceived notions. I had no idea about this beer. I'd never heard anything about it before, and that's what I love about it is the fact that this kind of like, whoa, where'd this beer come from? I mean, I've had maybe one other, maybe two other Victory beers in my life, and I don't remember, so having this, I was just like, this is freaking... That's why I gave it the 5, and I don't give out too many 5s.
Yeah.
But that's why I did it, because this just kind of came.
It's like seeing an epic movie and not having, you didn't get to see the trailer either, and you don't know what you're in for.
But you're like, you don't know who's in it. You just see the movie and you're just
this
like,
this is great, and I had no idea that these actors were in it. It's like, oh, yeah. Man, what's about this?
Yeah, it's like these guys are so-so? What?
Yeah. It's like seeing a movie and all of a sudden there's like all these cameos you had no idea about. You're just like, oh my god, this is awesome. Bill Murray? What the hell?
Anyway. My other beer, the 6-point Bengali. Yeah, man, this is tough. Because like you have the reviews, I read them first when I was like doing some stuff, getting ready for tonight, and I was like, 99, 89, like, very good, world class. I'm like, wow, this is, it's like, again, the whole movie thing. Someone's saying, you gotta check this movie out. It's the best movie you're ever gonna see. And then you drink it, or you see it, and you're like, it was good, but it wasn't like the best movie you've ever seen.
Right, so, went all the hype behind it.
This was kind of.
But would it have been better if the hype wasn't behind it? You know what I mean?
Was there hype behind the Bengali?
For me, there was, because when I was just writing stuff down, it said that it was brothers.
That kind of hype.
The brothers said it was 99, and
those brothers.
Yeah.
And even the user said there was like 89. So
that's what you get for listening to the brothers.
You should listen to Beer Coasters instead.
I do. It's a good IPA. You know, it's 6.5. It's right at, you know, it toes the line of imperial or, you know, kind of like a drinkable beer. It's something that you want to like pair with. It's good to have. You need, you know, the fact that my first sip was kind of like a punch in the mouth with like hops, and then it kind of took a couple sips and it needed to like warm up a little bit for me to kind of get used to it. I guess I'm gonna dock it a little bit. You know, like I'm gonna give it a 3.5, and it's not because it's not a good beer. It's a solid beer. It's a really good IPA, but maybe I'm just not a fan of those types of hops, like those grassy hops. Like I prefer more of what we had with the Victory Dirt Wolf. You know, those tropical fruity flavors. So, you know, someone that likes that bitter, someone that likes that kind of earthiness, this could be a 5 for them. But, you know, not so much for me. So I'm gonna go 3.5 on this guy. It's good.
3.5 is nothing to sneeze at. All right, 3.5 is pretty good.
Three and a half, you'll drink it again.
Put it this way, it's no corn lager, so it's better than that.
Hey!
What?
I tell you what, you get a hold of this corn. If you can't get that in Connecticut, I will send you a mule, and you let me know what you think.
He'll send you a mule.
But now,
on,
see, here I am.
Back.
I'm like giving this hype, and see, now I'm giving you, you know, expectations, and that shouldn't be how this beer should be experienced. Someone should give this to you blindly. You know, and be able to taste. Oh, this, what is this? Oh, it's pretty good.
What's this wet stuff? What do I do with it? Put it in my. Okay, let me try it. No, that's. I do want to try that corn lager, because and you know, when you hear about like the adjuncts, like, you know, like using corn, you go macro automatically. So like, I'm curious to try something like what like a you know, like notch. You know, brewery would
and
do
I've had
something
a,
like that.
I've one craft beer other than this that used like blue corn and something else, you know, to enhance the flavor. It might have been, was it blue corn and wild rice? I can't remember what it was, but it was, they kind of went to the extreme, like, okay, we're going to use these adjuncts, but we're going to use these, you know, crazy kind of, you know, out of left field grains and such. So it was like blue corn and some kind of wild rice. I can't remember what it was, but really interesting beer made for a really different kind of flavor. So
one of the guys in my homebrew club used a he mashed in with popcorn. He did a popcorn cream ale. It was awesome.
Nice.
So hey, cool. So however you use it, you know, I'd give it a try. Yeah. All right, shout outs. Toby, any shout-outs you got over there?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Spencer at Toolbox Brewing out there in Vista, California. I met him at the kickoff to San Diego Beer Week at the Beer Festival down at the Broadway Pier this past weekend. And so, yeah, I just want to give him a big shout-out. They're doing some really cool stuff at Toolbox, and hopefully I'll be able to try some of their stuff on the show. They're one of the... Not, I wouldn't say first, but one of the very few brewers in San Diego that are doing that are brewing with Brett. So it's very cool, and I've had one of their beers at least so far. It's freaking awesome. But anyway, so yeah, Spencer there at Toolbox Brewing. Also want to give a shout out to Mel Mann on Untappd. Quick little, this is kind of like a backwash slash. Shout out on Untappd. Mailman commented and said, "Listen to Beer Coasters all day driving around Arizona. You guys do a great job every week. Thank you and keep up the good work."
Nice. So,
big shout out to Mailman.
Thanks, Mailman.
Yeah, buddy.
And Eric D also on Untappd. He commented on one of my check-ins. So,
nice.
There you go. And a big shout out to Tony Leone for hosting the show.
Oh, jeez.
That was going to be my first shout out. Was shout out to Tony Leone.
This is
not only for being on the show, but for going out there and getting the beers last minute. We, you know, we tend to have changes here, last minute changes on the show, and he stepped up to the challenge, and
Yeah.
Glad to have him on.
Thank you for my first and last hosting gig. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
Looking forward to, you know, listening to the show from now on.
Nice. Well, I want to...
Thank you.
Give a couple more shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Salt Kitchen. It's actually... the full name is Salt Kitchen and Rum Bar. I tried it this weekend. They had a pretty decent beer selection and a very nice menu. That's in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Give them a shout-out. And give a shout-out to Matthew Pollard, Bruno Oliveira, and Carol Kren. And I think that's it. I had some untapped. There were some friend requests and stuff, but I don't have that open now, so I'll give a shout-out next week.
Alrighty. Shout-outs from me. I'm going to say, as we're recording this on Tuesday, a happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there.
Yes.
Especially Papa Leone. Love him. My brother-in-law, Mike. My cousin, Chris. So thank you guys for your service. Much, much appreciated. None of them listen to this show, so they won't hear this, but that's okay.
Sorry. The thumb counts.
Untapped users, I want to give a shout out to Matt G, Tattooed Brewer, Phil L, Lynn L, Gino Kenny Malt Porter, Matt Lupoli, Tom M, Craig Dergy, and Jesse P. And I also want to give a shout out as far as an establishment goes to this place called Astoria Beer and Cheese. I visited my buddy Rourke the other day. And we went to this place, Astoria Beer and Cheese. It's a phenomenal place. It really is. We had like this five different meats, five different cheeses. They have things on draft. They have bottles. You know, maybe things we don't get in Connecticut. It was just mind blowing. Like, you know, I had like an Expedition Bell's Expedition Stout. We were having is it Schlafly? Is that how you say it? Schlafly, the pumpkin. Schlafly.
Yeah, Schlafly. Right.
I've never had that before, and I've heard great things about that. So we cracked one of those. I had another beer, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was a beer that was a triple aged in brandy barrels, and they added honey to it last minute. You know, it just there's a freaking party going on. It was a flavor.
Somebody in my mouth.
you said it on me. But you know,
you described it.
it's a fantastic place. So yeah, if you're ever in the New York area, Astoria Beer and Cheese is a must visit. Definitely check it out.
So. Cool, cool, cool.
All right, and as a quick, brief reminder to all our listeners, this is your show.
That's right.
And we're just drinking in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com, y'all.
Y'all.
That's what it says.
That's right.
Merc. I'm just reading the script.
Merc, y'all. You thought that was a script?
Toby said I needed to be off book. I am off book. I'm ready to go. I'm not reading from the page. But...
Yeah. It's all right. Well, once you finish that silo can, it's all downhill.
I'm still working on it.
Thanks, Tony. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
In this case, I'm gonna gravitate towards this piece of cheese. So we're gonna what we call pause America. We'll be back right after this. And after you have all 24 ounces, it's awesome.